Hey, Martin, you're ready for the big spectacular on the 22nd of May.
Oh, yeah, the big spectacular massive music event watched by millions around the world.
Yeah, of course. Glastonbury.
Yeah, yeah, I was talking about Glastonbury as well.
Yeah, yeah, same. Obviously. Yeah, there's nothing else going on that day, is there?
Can't think of anything. I can't think of any massive music global televised event. No, it's Glastonbury.
Definitely not. No, nothing that's been planned for about 2 years now, technically.
Nope.
Yeah, idiots. So this is basically
idiots.
What fools? This is the news. Glastonbury have planned a big sort of virtual event with artists like Coldplay, I believe, and loads of others. And they've just announced that's happening on the 22nd of May. Slight hitch in that is, of course, the Eurovision date.
Yep. They've got Coldplay and international stars, and we've got Flo Rida.
Hey.
There's not much to compete with that. Welcome to Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Yes, indeed. Welcome. This is Nullpois, a Eurovision fan podcast. I'm Laura, that's Martin. We don't know everything about Eurovision, but we're trying to learn. And we've had our ones to watch. We've gone over all the songs that we've enjoyed of the contest. So this is more about the contest itself now. We've got a bit more news about how it's going to be this year, which is quite exciting, actually.
It is. We've talked about this many, many times over the last few months because it has been the thing that everyone's thinking about. How close to normal will the Eurovision Song Contest look and feel this year, given that it was cancelled in 2020? And we know a little bit more about that. Now the Dutch government has said it will allow 3,500 fans into the Ahoy Arena to watch the song contest. This is in addition to what we already knew, which was that they will be allowing all of the acts to perform in person at the event as well. So that really gives us a sense that they will be able to put on a show which will look fairly normal, will look sort of fairly as it did. Okay, 3,500 is nowhere near the capacity we're used to seeing at these events, but it's some audience who'll be able to make some noise and generate some atmosphere. The way they're doing this is because the Dutch government has allowed that event, the Eurovision final certainly, and some of the semi-finals as well, to be trial events as to how they can make large events work using testing and various other means, vaccination and passport, you know, vaccine passports that we hear all about and that sort of thing, to actually make these big events work. And they're running it as a trial. This, I think, certainly for people watching at home, I think is going to make a real difference.
I definitely agree. It's very interesting, this whole trial business. They've been doing it quite a lot, the Dutch government. They've done a bit as well. They had about 1,500 fans at a music festival they did a trial with, 5,000 spectators at a World Cup football qualifier in the Netherlands. So they're basically, what they've been planning with a company is these sort of trials to see if these kind of things can go on with the pandemic. Now, you might think, my goodness, 3,500 people, how is that going to work? Well, what they're going to do is that the venue would be half full with 3,500 people, so it still would be quite spacious. Fans would also need a negative COVID test as well before being allowed in. So it's not that they're just saying, you know, everyone can come in and they're not going to be testing. There will obviously be health and safety measures before they go in. But I agree, it's definitely going to make a difference. I think having an audience just gives a show a bit of life, doesn't it?
And not just for the people watching at home. I think it'll be great for us as viewers, but I also think even more so perhaps it'll be great for the performers to feel like they are on stage in front of a load of people, because I imagine if they were doing it in a studio with hardly anybody there, just the crew, sort of one bloke sort of clapping in the background, it wouldn't feel like this big event. You just feel like you were talking to a few cameras. This is going to feel really sort of something special for those performers as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we will probably not be one of those audience members.
No.
I think it's mainly going to be locals, isn't it, because of international travel restrictions. But I agree, at least it's going to feel like they're going to get the feedback and the audience are going to be enjoying it, and we're going to be enjoying it more. So as long as, obviously, there's no additional quarantine measures put in place by then, it sounds like it's going to be maybe as near a normal Eurovision Song Contest as we can expect for this year.
Yeah, and I think that is maybe worth reiterating that this is the plan now. We know with this blinking pandemic that things can just turn like that. And for all we know, the whole thing could be, done on in a field somewhere.
Please
maybe
no.
like Worthy Farm, just sort of out in a field, something like that. Anyway, that is the plan at the moment, and we have our fingers crossed that it will take place.
Marta, did you have any pranks pulled on you this April, this 1st of April?
Nobody pulled a prank on me. I did see a lot of them, though, doing the rounds. Did you see there was one from, I think it was Volkswagen, who didn't they have to apologise?
Yeah, because that backfired.
Yeah, much like their cars. Because Thank you.
Comment.
Because, well, I drive one, actually, so I can't really comment about that. Because didn't they do it on the wrong day?
Yeah, I think it accidentally got leaked. I think it was supposed to be obviously announced on April the 1st, and it got released the day before. So because of that, people are obviously taking it as actual. I think they wanted to change the name to Volkswagen, as in because they were going forward into like electric cars. So they were going to say they were changing the name to Volkswagen, V-O-L-T-S. And obviously, yeah, they released it the day before, so people just took it as actual news. So big backfire there for Volkswagen.
Yes, not very good, and they had to apologise and all sorts of things. Meanwhile, the Eurovision Song Contest has been having its own little joke. Did you fall for this, Cress? Did you...
I'll be honest, for the first few paragraphs, yes.
Okay.
Because I was reading it quite late at night on the 1st of April, so by that point I'd sort of forgotten. You know, you kind of get... Most people sort of get them out of the way in the beginning of the day. It's a sort of flurry of April Fool's jokes. I mean, it's a nightmare if you're a journalist trying to get through all that stuff and sift and check what's the actual news. But so I read maybe the first couple of paragraphs and I was like, what the hell is this? So basically, do you want to explain?
Well, tell you what, shall I read the?
Yeah, read a bit.
I'll read the press release here from the EVU, and you can see.
Maybe
if
don't
you
read
would...
all of it. It's quite long.
No, no, I'll read a little bit of it. And you can see if you were taken in by this. The European Broadcasting Union has announced the introduction of the Wintervision Song Contest. Sweden will host the inaugural contest during December 2022. And basically, what they're saying is that they're inspired by the Winter Olympics, and they were going to have this. It was going to be like Eurovision but on ice.
Yeah.
And with all the snow and things like that. And they really went to quite a bit of effort to try and convince people. Because they've gone into detail about who's going to be participating, which countries will be participating, where it might be held in future years, because they've got to be places that are snowy and icy. And have a listen to this now, because they got Kino to kind of go and release a video announcing, well, listen.
Hey, I'm Alexandra from Kino, and I'm delighted to reveal that we will be Norway's entry in the first Wintervision Song Contest in 2022. Yay!
I mean, good on Kino for going along with it. I thought that also added... I was like, wait a minute, what? What's going on here? But obviously, yeah, they just asked Kino to do it and they went along with it. I think my favourite bit, and that's when it definitely twigged, where I was like, okay, this is complete rubbish. When they put the rules for the Wintervision Song Contest at the bottom, entries must be no longer than 3 minutes in length. It should be in keeping with the winter theme. We recommend the use of bells, sleigh bells, hand bells, doorbells. Participants must wear skis, skates or ice grips and must not be barefoot. No animals allowed on stage intentionally. However, if reindeer, brown bears or wolves are particularly entranced by specific entries and wander onto set, Wintervision producers will not intervene with nature. That's my favourite one. Like if a bear just comes on in the middle of the song, they're like, we'll let nature take its course. If the bear attacks the people on stage, that's just nature. And finally, should they decide to participate, the Australian delegation will be given special dispensation to submit a summertime banger, which I thought was hilarious. But they're very good on the part of the EBU. They're very funny. And Kino as well. They definitely added a bit to that.
Yeah, very good indeed. It has got me thinking as well. Wouldn't the Eurovision Song Contest be fantastic on ice?
Yes, that was the thing. thing. That's why I was like, oh, this is really cool. I like this. But obviously, there's a couple of reasons why it probably wouldn't work and would be quite weird. But I don't know. Maybe it's time to consider having two Eurovisions a year. Is that too much to ask for? Some people might say yes.
Well, I mean, we already do have two Eurovisions a year, don't we? In that we have the Junior Eurovision
yes,
Song Contest.
That's true.
And let me tell you, I think it is too much. There we are. think 1 year is just fine. Okay, bit of Dardy news now, do we not, Chris?
This is, we
like a little bit of Dardy news.
That's right. We were mentioning, of course, that sadly Dardy has had to postpone his tour, as many European tour, I believe, that he was going to be doing around about now. We would have seen Dardy probably in a couple of weeks' time in London, because we had tickets to see him. But sadly, he's had to postpone it, of course, because of Corona. But he launched this virtual tour instead, and he's now given us a bit more ideas about that. So how it will happen is basically fans can stream this special concert via mobile, and it's basically this website, road2rotterdam.com, which is road and then the number 2 rotterdam.com, and basically he's going to be doing it on the dates that he would have been performing at these different venues. So you basically go onto that website, scan the QR code and watch a performance from Dardy, and then the concert will be available worldwide. So he's doing all these separate different concerts he would have done, but obviously virtually instead.
It's a really good idea, I think, because like us, we've got tickets to go and see, and we were really looking forward to
it.
At least he is able to give something to those fans who were really excited about going to see him.
I think it's just a really nice idea that he's still going to be doing all the concerts. I think that's really good. And when you look on the website, there's actually loads of he did have some planned. He was going to be performing in America as well. It wasn't just a European tour. So yeah, a lot of dates actually he had planned, which just shows how popular he is as well. There was loads. One in Australia, so lots of stuff. Sad they can't do it, of course, for us at least. I don't know about the whole tour, but he has just postponed the date, so we will be able to see him later this year, fingers crossed,
if all goes well. Now, what I thought we might do, and I wonder what you know, much like the Eurovision Song Contest is being part of a trial event, I thought we could do a little trial
okay,
bit of this podcast now, because this year is very, very different to any other year of Eurovision in that for the first time ever, we have huge numbers of acts coming back, making return appearances on the Eurovision stage. We've seen this occasionally before in Eurovision's gone by, but this is happening on a really, really massive scale now, mainly because, of course, all of the people that came to represent the country in 2020 couldn't do so, and a lot of them, I think the vast majority really, are now representing their countries for real in 2021. And what I thought it might be quite fun to do is to compare and contrast their 2020 song with their 2021 song and maybe try and come to a bit of a decision about which one we think is the best. And I think some of them will be really obvious, but I think some of them are be quite difficult to work out which one we prefer, and because I know some of them try different styles and different ways of doing it. And so I thought we could have a go at that.
I'm guessing, are we judging it purely on the music, or are we doing it on the staging as well, because it's obviously quite difficult for the 2020.
Well, that's true. I think we can have a good old conversation about it.
Lovely.
And come to a well-reasoned conclusion, and we'll do that with, I think this week, Malta, because Malta's been talked about an awful lot recently, and I thought that'd be interesting. Of course, Destiny is representing Malta. Let's hear from Destiny back in 2020 now. Her entry was called All of My Love. All of my love, like a river running wild. Every brother, mother, child. Now we found each other, don't let me down. All my love, like a river running wild. Every brother, very passionate, that amazing voice, of course, that we know from Destiny. It's called All of My Love from Eurovision 2020, the ghost song that never happened and never managed to make it there. This is Destiny's entry for Malta for this year, 2021. It's called Je Me Casse.
Excuse my French. Yeah, I'm too good to be true, but there's nothing in it for you, so
this is tipped to do very, very well. People talking about it. But let's compare and contrast this. Mm. We've heard 2020, we've heard 2021. What are your thoughts?
I think both of them quite catchy. Definitely got some sort of catchy hooks in both of them. I think Je Me Casse has got a bit more about it in terms of just, I think, just catching the imagination a bit more. Maybe just because it's a little bit more sassy and in your face, where All My Love, a bit more sort of, not ballady, but it hasn't quite got that upbeatness about it, I think. Mm. If you get what I mean. But as you say, both times, you know, an excellent voice, and both, I would imagine, quite easily being on the radio and being in the charts.
The vocal is the thing that stands out, as you say, across both of those songs. Clearly, Destiny is very, very accomplished as a vocalist. I do know what you mean about the 2020 song not quite having that little bit extra, which I think Je Me Casse really does.
Yeah.
Je Me Casse is the sort of song that's been stuck in my head all week, and it's the thing that I'm, you know, I can see myself singing and humming back and think. Whereas I think the 2020 song is a little bit, you know, All of My Love, it's a bit, I forget it. I think I'd forget it quite quickly after I've heard it. It's not to say it's not good, but I just think
it is good.
It's just lacking that little bit extra.
And I think there's more fun you can have with the staging of Je Me Casse as well, whereas with the All My Love one, I can't really see how that would work. I think as well, Je Me Casse has just got the, what I like to call, the sort of Fuego effect, wherein when Fuego was coming out, everyone used that as a kind of little, like a little meme, basically. People still use that now. If like something is amazing in the Eurovision world, people were like, Fuego, honey. But now this is the same thing with like Je Me Casse. People would be like, oh, Je Me Casse. Do you know what I mean? Like, which means I walk away, by the way, if people don't know that. But it's just kind of a little, you know, a little phrase people could say have picked up from this year's Eurovision. And that shows that, you know, people are into it and are listening to it. And I think it's got that same little thing. Whereas All My Love, it hasn't got that little bit extra.
Do you think that because they had a chance to sort of gauge public reaction in 2020 to the song, they have purposely made this 2021 song a little bit more and given it a bit more of that kind of memorable and kind of party feel? Or do you think they just went, we just need something completely different?
I think they just went, we just need something a bit different, because I don't get me wrong, I think there was a good reaction to All of My Love. It wasn't like people weren't bothered about it. I think I remember last year, again, Malta being pretty seriously tipped to at least be in the sort of top five with this song, and people also like amazed at the fact that she at the time of that coming out, she was only 17. So a lot of, because of course she won Junior Eurovision not long ago. I don't think that they would have seen that reaction being like, oh no, we need something completely different. I think it's just how it went, basically. And they obviously, I mean, it's difficult because you never want to put out a song that's too similar to the one you've had, because then you just get comparisons. So perhaps they did think, right, we'll go in a different direction just so we're not getting those kind of same comparisons.
I think that was a good trial. I think this is a feature that we could do again. So next time on the podcast, we shall look at another entry into this year's Eurovision Song Contest, compare their song with the one that they put forward for the competition in 2020. I might even think of a name for the feature.
Not just going to be compare and contrast.
It could just be compare and contrast. Just one thing to tell you before Chris goes through some correspondence, and that's that I'm thinking, and I don't know, what do you think about this? We could have a little production team talk here on the podcast.
On air, right?
Do you think we should bring Trivia Time back?
Yes, absolutely, we should.
Okay. I just feel at the moment, we had that massive build up in March, didn't we, where we had all of the songs being released and there was so much going on. But I feel like April is the calm before the storm a little bit now, because we know all of the songs, we know an awful lot about what's going to be happening on the night. It's all out there in the open. And now is the sort of the build up.
The wait.
And the
now
wait.
We wait.
Exactly. Yeah. and which is great, but also not great for this podcast because we need to think of things to talk about. So,
oh, Martin, we'll find things to talk about, don't worry.
So I thought, what better idea than to just to kind of look back in time and have a bit of a laugh with some of the crazy things that go on in Eurovision's gone by. So the return of Trivia Time on the podcast next week.
So, Martin, you were mentioning, of course, the trial of our compare and contrast feature. So if you want to get in touch and tell us what your thoughts were on that, do you agree with us or did you prefer Malta in 2020? You can do, of course. There's lots of ways you can get in touch with us. For example, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're @PoorNull on Twitter. You can get in touch with us on Instagram, NullPoor Podcast on Instagram, or you can send us an email, nullpoorpodcast@gmail.com. And we've had lots of correspondence this week, so thank you very much. Mainly on something we talked about with Italy when we were doing our ones to watch. Thank you, people who got in touch to let us know about this, because of course we were saying about the San Remo festival and how contestants have to say whether they want to take part in Eurovision or not, and whether that was a thing that sort of preceded Eurovision and how that worked. We've had a couple of correspondence on this from people both on Twitter and Instagram. First of all, Neil on Twitter said, "Re Italy, I think Eurovision is patterned after San Remo, not vice versa. San Remo has been around since 1951 and was must-see viewing for culture class. Zitti e buoni means silent and good, what you tell children to be." So that's the song from Maneskin.
Yeah.
Fiori di testa is out of our minds. And another correspondence from Simon Alcaraz on Instagram saying, "You've probably been messaging this already. San Remo Festival precedes Eurovision. In fact, it inspired it. This is why San Remo winners are not obliged to take up Eurovision." But thank you very much, Simon, for also getting this in, for saying, "By the way, listening to your podcast for the first time, great work." Thank you, Simon.
Thank
it's
you.
Nice. Thank you.
You can stay, Simon. That's very kind of you.
And also Neil, because thank you, yeah. Neil. So there you go. That just a little bit of knowledge for you, because as we say, we love Eurovision, but we don't know the entire history of it. So appreciate when you come back to us with these ideas.
Yeah, really useful,
isn't it? Yes, there you go. Very interesting that it sort of preceded and inspired it. And just to add as well, I asked them both, you know, who are you rooting for this year? Neil said he really enjoyed Russian Woman in 10 Years, which is obviously the Russia and then the Icelandic entry. Also hopes Gendrit makes the final. And Simon on Instagram said, "I'd love either Lithuania, Iceland or Malta to win it." But he did also say, this is why we really like Simon, he says, "UK entry best in years, so I hope he does well to keep encouraging UK to take it seriously and keep sending talent." So good. Glad, yeah. You know.
Well, I mean, let's hope. we can see about that one. Yeah.
Let's see about that. But yeah, don't forget to let us know your thoughts on all that we've been speaking about this podcast. Compare and contrast and all the other topics as well. We'd love to hear you and get in touch. Final shout out to YouTube comments as well, because don't forget we've even got a YouTube channel.
Oh yeah, we have, haven't we?
Martin, we do. I promise
I remember it now. Yeah.
Miss Cara Mint got in touch because we basically in our YouTube channel we go through songs that got Nullpoor and we decide whether they deserved it, and that's what we're doing. And one of our recent ones was Gemini's Crybaby. We decided whether that deserved Nullpoor, and Miss Cara Mint said, "Can we also acknowledge that the English press apologised to Norway for making fun of their Nullpoor back in 1978 just because of this loss? It was pretty funny." I didn't realise that was what they did.
I didn't realise that either.
But
fair enough.
I think well deserved, because the Gemini Crybaby was terrible.
It was absolutely awful. Yes, go and check us out on YouTube if you fancy seeing our thoughts on that particular song and some others as well that we've been having a look at that got Nullpoor in song contests gone by. That is about it for this edition of Nullpoor. Thank you very much for your company. Chris has given you all the details on how you can get in touch. We'd love you to do that. We'd love you to subscribe. We'd love you to give us 5 stars and comments and all sorts of things that will mean that we can keep coming back and bringing you more editions of this podcast. From now until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.